When does it start, man?
Somewhere soon. I don't know.
Somewhere. I don't know.
There it is. Everybody knows this song. Note for note, don't worry. Ready? Ready, Mike? Be happy.
You can't get me to sing. It's not going
to
work.
News to Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, time for the Garden Line with our former mayor of Pensacola and garden expert extraordinaire, Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike. Good
morning, Meg. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm trying not to worry and be happy.
Now, for the next hour, let's be happy.
Okay, I'm in. Okay, I'm in. Count me in.
Just for the next hour.
Okay,
for
that
sure.
Works.
I've just got a couple of housekeeping things I want to mention before we get to our Texas and talk gardening here. One, I just hope all the moms out there had a great Mother's Day.
Yes,
such a nice family time, and I know.
Did you have a nice time?
I had a great time. A lot of the college kids, grandchildren were in town.
Oh, nice.
It was just great.
That's really nice.
So much fun. So hope everybody had a good time there. I did want to mention one thing before we go, and this is really off gardening, but how sad I was to see Dr. Martha Saunders resign as president of UWF. Let me tell you this. She is an amazing woman. She has been an amazing president of the university. She has taken UWF to new heights, and to have her have to leave, she made the choice. She said she was going to leave at this point, that the time was right for her. But I'll tell you right now, I am sad to see that, because look what she's done.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the metrics that she's met over at UWF.
And she's been there, what, 8 years now? In the past eight years, the university has grown so much.
That's right. And you go to I'm just speaking personally here. You go to any meeting with business people, professional people, and so many are graduates of UWF.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're successful.
Mm-hmm.
And she has sent so many of these students off to do great things, not only in our city, but in the nation, probably in the world. But sad to see her go. And I just wish her well in whatever endeavor she takes, because I know whatever it is, it will help students, it will help the community, and just a sad day.
I agree 1,000%. And my feeling about it is that for someone like her who's done so much for the university, to be treated in the way that she has been treated in the last several months is inexcusable, and personally I find disgusting. So I am very sad to see her go, but I'm also glad in a way, because she doesn't deserve that at all. And I just wish her the best, because I know whatever she chooses to do next, she will excel at that, and it will be a gift to all of us. Well, and she's just been an amazing person, but I just find the whole situation very sad.
That's very well said, Meg. She does not deserve this.
No, not at all.
No. I wish her well. Doctor, if you're listening to us,
we love you.
You're great.
Community loves you. UWF loves you. The Pensacola community loves
you. I'm going to say one more thing. Mm-hmm. Insofar as the UWF situation, I am so pleased to see the community rise up and voice their opinion on what they want and what they desire for their, I'm going to call it their local university.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great to see that process work out. Obviously, the end of it has not been what we want,
mm-hmm.
but the community stood up. Good for Pensacola.
And keep standing up, because from what I gather, the fight's not over.
We're not going anywhere.
Right, the fight's not over yet.
Okay.
All right.
Back to gardening.
Okay, now, to put on your gardening hat.
We're on the gardening hat.
850-437-1620. If you've got a comment about gardening or a question, I know we weren't able to get it to everybody last week, and I sent a text to a couple people and said, please ask your question again.
Please come back.
Next week.
Please come back. Exactly.
So, warmer temperatures, tons of rain.
Oh, tons of rain. And, you know, once again, a little tornado action at the beach, Meg. That's your old stomping ground out there.
Yes,
and
I can't
believe
that. And
it looks like they really
have
some damage. I think I know when that hit the beach, because in my yard it was pouring rain, and all of a sudden, I mean, the wind just picked up and it blew like a hurricane, very briefly. So I don't think I had any tornado action, but boy, it was strong.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had a lot of rain, and the rain was good. The rain will make things grow. It's going to be beneficial to our lawns and our shrubs. But I'm ready for a little bit of calm sunshine, if you will. Now, you have to, if we're talking weather, Mick, you've got to look. I checked the News Journal forecast looking ahead. It looks like maybe by this weekend we may see our first 90-degree day.
Oh, really?
So it's really, really warming up, which is really, quite frankly, what I like. There's no doubt about that. And for those people out there that have a live oak in their yard or in the neighborhood, do you think the leaf drop is over? Boy, I hope so. I hope so. I'll tell you, I have cleaned up those leaves, and every time I do, I say, okay, this is the last time I'm going to do it. But, you know, it's not. It's just kept on coming. I think it really is almost over, especially with this rain and wind we had. It kind of sent many, many of those leaves down, and hopefully they were the last. So anyway, if you've got them, people asked last week, we had some texts, should I rake them up? Yes, I would. Now, I'm not one to get out there and rake them and then let them come down again, then rake them again, and rake them one good time. Give it another week or so, then get out there and just rake those leaves up as good as you can, because, boy, I'll tell you, it has been work for so many people. And a little embarrassing for me, because I've got this huge oak tree, drops thousands of leaves.
Then, me too.
Then you have them washed down to my neighbors. I know they're sitting there saying, Wiggins, either come get your own leaves out of my yard. But in any event, it has been amazing. We need to, I'm jumping into gardening here, we need to fertilize the lawn now if you haven't done it. If you haven't done it, this is mid-May, and this is, quite frankly, when the experts say is the best time to do it.
Oh, that's good news.
Oh, absolutely. So if you've got that lawn fertilizer, go ahead and get it out, and then water it in. I had a friend the other day say that they fertilized the lawn right before a big rain was coming, just in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But the rain stopped. And so here we are after all that rain, had to water some more to get that fertilizer in. But I don't see any rain coming this week, but let's get that fertilizer out and do water it in, and I think you're going to see that grass all over town just jump up.
Everything's turning green,
everything's
green,
turning
green.
Green and growing, no doubt about it. So that's kind of where we are here. Yes, so those are some of the housekeeping chores that I thought we ought to use. Now, what we're going to do, Meg, I think we've got a break coming up here. When we come back, let's answer any texts that we may have.
Okay.
I think that would be fun. That's always the most fun here on the Garden Line. But otherwise, let's talk about this annual blooming plant choices that we have in Pensacola this time of year. Some we're all familiar with, some maybe not so much. So we'll kind of talk about that when we get back.
That sounds like a great idea and a good plan as we go forward on Pep Talk in the Garden Line. If you've got a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the break. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. And your host, Mike Wiggins, is here with us this morning, giving us advice on spring gardening and what we need to be doing. And, okay, well, what's next, Mike?
Well, I'll tell you what. We had a text about...
You want me to read this one for you?
Yeah, Bailey. Okay. Bailey's.
Okay, so this is a good text. It says, good morning, Mike and Meg. Any clues on growing whatever bush it is that produces bay leaves? The type of bay leaf that is commonly used in gumbo, et cetera. From Dan and Molina. So I think he's talking about the bay leaves that you usually get in the spice store. I mean,
that's exactly right. And I think you could do that by planting a bay laurel. That's a plant. I think that would grow here. That would give you the leaves. I've never grown a bay laurel.
I've never really thought of, I mean, I know people grow basil and then rosemary and thyme and all that kind of stuff. That's like a spice garden.
And it's perfect time for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would talk to, our friend Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden, and say, Larry, I'm trying to find a bay laurel that will produce the bay leaves that we'd use in gumbo and cooking and that type of thing. And I bet he could help you with that.
Well, you know, now that you say that, I was thinking about usually when I buy them, because I use it for spaghetti sauces and things, they're always dried.
Dried,
too.
In a little jar.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if there's a reason for that. Why I never see fresh bay leaves, do you?
No, I
have. Like in this grocery store or something? So it's interesting that it's always in a dry. We'll have to find out.
No, I will tell you right now.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, here on the Garden Line, I bet we have some unbelievable cooks out there.
Oh, I bet.
And so, help on this one.
Oh, here we go. Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping. Good morning, Paul. He just texted in, bay leaf magnolia. Also to note, the southern magnolia flower is edible.
Really?
Wow. And did you try that personally, Paul?
Or? I was going to say, Paul, you're a brave guy, buddy.
You're out there munching on the flowers.
Exactly. So there are plants that we can produce here in Pensacola that would produce the bay leaf.
So okay, bay leaf magnolia.
Bay leaf magnolia. And I was asked, Paul, this: the bay leaf magnolia, is that same plant as the bay laurel? I would think not. But where is our, I don't think our crack research team showed up this morning.
Where are they? Are they playing hooky today because it's such a pretty day?
I don't know what they're doing. It's a beach or something. But anyway, we'll see what we can figure out about that one.
Okay, great question, though. And if you've got a question, please send it in to the Garden Line, 850-437-1620.
Right. Meg, what we had done, insofar as these blooming plants is concerned, we had gone to the North Florida Annual Planting Guide.
Yes, you were going to tell us about the annuals that we can do.
The annuals, exactly. And this planting guide is put out by IFAS, the Institute for Food and Agricultural Services through the state. Okay, and I'm not going to go to all of these plants. There are 52 listed on this
For our region, for our area?
Oh, yeah, all of these should grow in our area, yes.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Now, so you could probably Google the North Florida Annual Planting Guide and get this same list that we're looking at here. So I've just kind of cherry-picked some in here that I thought we might talk about. And we did start this about a month ago. We started this, and so we won't linger on those again, but just to kind of refresh our memory, we went to, first one was ageratum. And I will use that one because it's a blue bloom.
Oh, pretty.
You know, for all those that want a red, white, and blue planting in their yard, you know, red and white, it's kind of easy. But blue, you might want to try ageratum. It's really good. It's in the aster family, as a matter of fact. The other one, this is the other A word, was alyssum. Some people call it sweet alyssum. It has white or purple blooms, but most people use the white ones. And the variety is called Carpet of Snow. It grows about 4 inches.
That just sounds pretty.
Yeah, it's a great plant to plant in the foreground of any of your flower beds. So that's a good one. Then we went to wax begonia. Remember that one?
Yes.
Okay, we talked about three types. Do you remember the names?
No.
Gin, whiskey.
Oh, vodka.
Yeah. Now, those are the names that, when it first came out years ago, these wax begonias, that's the name that they...
Is that really the names?
Oh, they were tags. Oh,
gin, whiskey, and vodka? Really?
Oh, yeah. No, they were tags on them. They don't do that anymore. I don't think you're going to find them under those names. But I do say that my favorite plant in that category is the vodka. That's what we used to be labeled, the vodka, which is the... a burgundy purple leaf, okay, with the red flower.
Right.
Now, these are your go-to plants, Meg, if you want to plant a plant that's going to last you all summer long, that will take the full sun and the heat, needs a little water, of course, but these wax begonias are great. They're colorful, and they're hardy, and they really will last you probably all the way in, almost to the first frost. So, that's a wax begonia. So that's if you really want an easy one, that's it. Easy to grow. Okay, then we talked about coleus. Coleus is kind of a two-way to look at a colea plant. Coleus are shade plants. Historically, that's what we planted them for, because our choices of plants that grow really well in the shade is limited to some extent. Most of the plants like more sun. But the coleus, colorful leaves, no blossoms to speak of. They're just colorful, kind of burgundy and yellow and that type. But now, of course, we have the sun coleus. So you have to be careful what you buy. The sun coleus are kind of the same leaf colors, grow a little larger, if you will, but they will grow in the full sun and just give you color. Once again, no blooms, but it's so colorful, and it's a great annual. And it, too, will last you probably way into the fall.
Well, we're so warm here, too. We don't get those cold temperatures that will...
Oh, that's exactly right. And, you know, you never know. Some of these plants, we'll talk about one in a minute, that I had as an annual that lasted me through a whole winter and then the next spring.
Oh, no kidding.
We'll get into that in just a minute. As a matter of fact, we can probably do that right now. And that's a dianthus.
Mm-hmm.
Dianthus. I like... Dianthus is also called Sweet William.
Yes, I know those. They're so pretty.
And the other name for them are pinks.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Okay, they have fringed petals, fragrant flowers. Red is the best one, I think. But I planted it in a low bowl, kind of a clay bowl. And they planted them in the spring. They lasted all summer, went through the winter, came back the next spring, finally gave up after a while. But that was a great, hardy, hardy plant. So... Take a break?
Yep, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes to talk more about the Garden Line. If you've got a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. Welcome back. You are listening to the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, our favorite gardener, landscaper extraordinaire, talking about annuals.
Yes, we are. Color.
Color.
Color is everything.
I love the begonias, and I'm seeing a lot of them in the hanging begonia plants. I see those a lot at the different department stores and stuff around town and gardening stores.
Right, absolutely. So, let's move on down our list here. And this is one of my favorites. No bloom. It's just the color of the foliage. Dusty Miller. Dusty Miller has a gray, dusty-looking leaf.
Sounds like a country singer.
Dusty Miller. It does, doesn't it?
The next tune from Dusty Miller.
Maybe you can find that for the next break. But Dusty Miller is used by a lot of people in... For lack of a better word, I'm just going to call it a mixed planting. You put in a couple of the wax begonias. Maybe you put in a coleus, but you put in a Dusty Miller for contrast.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a great contrast to some of the other colors that are in that planting. So a Dusty Miller, and it's used by a lot of folks, is a great one. And it's hardy. It's hardy. It'll take you into the fall also.
Okay, so we were talking about our friend Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping. We're a little worried about that he was eating, and he says, yes, I eat everything, LOL. And then we heard back from Dan, who had asked the question about the bay leaves. He said, follow-up, called Pensacola Feed and Seed, and they have bay laurel plants in stock. Said they do well, but they're slow growers. Thanks for pointing me in the right direction, Dan and Molina.
Right, and you know,
thanks, Dan, for letting us know that.
Absolutely. If it's a slow grower, that's probably okay. I mean, how many bay leaves? You're going to need.
Isn't it true? I buy that whole jar and then I use maybe two.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So I'm glad we could help on that, the bay laurel. I'm glad Larry had that for you.
Yeah, no, that's really great.
Well,
that's
good.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay, where were we? Dusty Miller, one of my favorite
Dusty
plants.
Miller.
Oh, just gray, and it gives a contrast. Okay, then let's jump down to marigolds.
Oh, I love marigolds.
Marigolds, that's an easy one. The best marigold I like is just the dwarf yellow marigold. Okay, and that's a good one. And I always like to say this. I don't know if this is true or not. I had a landscaper tell me this one time. Two things about marigolds. One, if you plant them on the perimeter of your vegetable garden, they will inhibit insect problems. Well, they'll inhibit nematodes, for one thing.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of people around their vegetable garden will plant yellow marigolds.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Exactly. And the other thing he told me, and this one may be a little bit of a reach, is that marigolds, if you have a front flower bed and you put yellow marigolds in the front of that flower bed, it's going to visually bring that house out to the street.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right.
Okay.
We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to catch up on the news, and then we'll be back with Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got a question or text it in at 850-437-1620, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Happy Tuesday. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and our expert in the house is Mike Wiggins, because this is Tuesday and it's the Garden Line. If you've got a question or a comment for Mike, 850-437-1620. Mike, they're rolling in now, getting lots of texts.
Bring it on.
We have one from Deborah Dunlap. I think she's referring to the morning show. She says it's pronounced Marcello's.
It is pronounced Marcello's. They're going to tear it down.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they're going to tear that down.
Okay.
But let me just, so that's not a gardening
No,
text,
it's not.
But I want to say something nice about Deborah Dunlap. As most of us know, she has published these wonderful books of old Pensacola photographs.
I've seen those. They're amazing.
And as a person, Deborah has done so much to help with downtown and its improvement over the years. Very involved. So I'm a good person. And it's just good to hear from her.
Oh, so that's very nice. Thanks again, Deborah, for texting in this morning. Now, we did have a couple more gardening line questions. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. So one of them says, just curious, how well do Kentucky Wonder Beans do? I'm growing them now.
Kentucky Wonder Pole Beans
are
wonderful.
Okay.
I like them because they're flat beans. As a matter of fact, I noticed when I was in Publix the other day, buying some beans, and they label them Kentucky Wonder.
Oh, okay.
Because of their shape, because they are flat, as opposed to being round, if you will. So yes, that is probably
more like a lima bean kind, like a flat, that kind of lima bean flat.
No, well, kind of just the bean itself is just a flat green bean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it is my favorite, and I think it's been around forever. Ever. It's probably the selling seeds, vegetable seeds.
Right.
That was probably the most popular.
So the question is, how well do they do in this area?
Oh, they do great.
Oh, good.
They do
okay.
great in this area.
All right. That's good news. Okay. Then we had another response here from, from Steve, who followed up and said that the black and blue bush, as well as African basil, are two great blue options while being terrific pollinators. And this is referring to last week, by the way, the auto mower has given me a break from mowing in the heat. Steve from Escambia Bay.
Hey, Steve, I have to tell you, I tried to do a little
research. He did research this.
I was in a big hurry, so I didn't research it much. But the first place I went on the internet showed commercial robot mowers.
Oh, my goodness.
That were not quite as big as my car.
Industrial size.
Yeah, industrial size. So I never got to the residential robots, but I will. I will, because that's fascinating. I have never seen one in use, but I would love to do that.
Well, maybe you can send us a video or a picture of it.
I would love to have one. So I don't have to mow.
Right. But everybody would in this area, especially in the summer.
Steve, thank you for all of that. We appreciate it.
That's great. 850-437-1620 if you have a question or comment for Mike in the Garden Line, all about gardening here this morning.
Absolutely.
We're talking annuals.
Well, we're still talking. We're on the M words now.
Yes. Okay.
The M words. How about this one? This is one that you may not be familiar with. Melopodium.
Oh.
Melopodium. Some people call it a butter daisy. It has golden petals and a dark orange center.
Oh, how pretty.
And they grow 12 to 24 inches.
Wow.
But it's a great annual. It's a pure annual. It's not going to live through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But Melopodium, you'll find it in most garden centers. I have walked past it and always have to kind of check the labels. Is that a Melopodium?
Mm-hmm.
And it is. Okay, here's one of my favorites. You ready? Moss Rose.
Ooh.
Pretty name. The other name for it is Portulaca. It's kind of a vining, multicolored bloom, almost a succulent.
Huh.
It's perfect. It looks like I don't say it looks like a cactus because it does not, but it looks like something that would grow in the desert. And it does, probably of all these plants we've talked about, this one will probably take dry weather better than any of the other ones. So Portulaca. And once again, if you're doing a a container with annuals in it, different annuals, this would be a good one to put on the edge because it kind of runs and kind of would cascade over. So Portulaca. And you're smiling over there. You're laughing because you must have an interesting text.
I do. And we heard,
Can you read it on the air?
I can. I believe we heard from this person last week. But again, it is obvious that Mike Wiggins is a gentleman and a scholar whose kindness and intelligence are exceeded only by his charm and good looks and extensive background horticultural knowledge in Pensacola. Okay, who are you paying to send these texts in?
I had to pay a bunch for that. I'll tell you right now.
Very sweet.
I don't know who sent that in, but I am.
It's lovely.
That is so nice. Thank you very much. Most of that's not the truth, but it's so nice of you.
It is all the truth.
So nice for you to say that. Thank you very much.
All the truth.
Thank you
always.
Very much.
All right, sir. What you got? We're on the M's, the N's. We got the Moss Rose.
Moss Rose. Mm-hmm. Remember the other name. You always have to remember that. Portulaca.
Portulaca. Okay.
You got it.
Portulaca.
Portulaca. Exactly. And now this is an interesting one. The next one is New Guinea impatiens.
I love impatiens.
That's kind of an old phrase, New Guinea impatiens. And I always figured they called them New Guinea impatiens because they came from
New Guinea.
But they
don't.
They are a sun-loving impatiens. Impatiens, of course, are the go-to plant for color in the shade. Mm-hmm. It has been for Pensacola for generations. These sun patients are absolutely gorgeous, and they will take the full sun. They will. I bought some that are orange.
Ooh.
And put them in a planter, and I've got them out by the pool, and they just look great.
I don't know if I've ever seen orange. I've seen the pink, of course, and the whites and the different variations of reds. Right. But orange, I bet that's really pretty.
It really is pretty.
I have a question for you on that, on the impatiens. So I have a backyard that gets really strong sun from about morning till around 1 o'clock. And then as the sun moves, then the rest of the afternoon is in total shade. Will impatiens do okay in that environment?
I think so. How much sun?
Full sun in the morning.
Until noon?
Until about noonish, 1 o'clock, and then it kind of goes over.
I think you'd be okay with impatience, yes.
And then the rest of the afternoon is shady.
All pure shade. Yeah, I think you'd be fine.
Okay.
Exactly. So, yes, it's a great plant because, once again, they will bloom all the way into frost. All right, here we go. You ready for this next one?
Yes.
It's one of my favorites, one of my absolute favorites. It's a pinta. Now, pinta is probably... Our listeners who know these plants are going to say, Mike, that's kind of a tropical plant versus an annual.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a tropical. But I've put it in there because, one, it blooms so pretty in the summer. And I love the name. Egyptian Star Cluster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool name.
It is.
Comes red, lavender, grow about, maybe 12 inches. Probably always thought it'd grow a little bit more than that. But you'll see them usually in about 1 gallon containers at your garden centers. It's a pinta. It's just one you may never have tried before. You may want to try that. All right, here's the next one. You ready? This was another one we may know much about. All right, Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Okay, also known as black-eyed Susan.
Oh, okay, I know that.
Or coneflower.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a daisy-like flower
that,
once again, you'll find at a lot of your garden centers. But the formal name is Rudbeckia.
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Huh.
Exactly. So
I wonder how they got the black-eyed Susan, just from the way it looks?
I guess. Yeah. Must be.
Interesting.
Who knows?
We've got to take a quick break.
Let's do it.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about more annuals and answering your questions about gardening here in Pensacola. The expert is in the house, Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. Got lots of texts rolling in with questions for you, Mike. Here's one that says, hey, Mike, this is Phil. My 7-foot lemon tree is going yellow leaves, or growing, I guess, yellow leaves and no leaves just to the top. We have not replanted it for about 6 or 8 years. Is it possible it's root bound?
Oh, that's easily possible. Obviously, it's in a container.
Sounds like it, yeah.
It's in a large pot. So, yes. Of course, it could still be suffering a little bit from some of the winter damage. Some of our citrus will do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would do is, you could plant it up, bump it up, be sure to score the roots, be sure to plant it right. Because remember now, we're going to 90 degrees.
This weekend, you said.
This weekend. So that's a little dicey for doing a lot of transplanting. But use enough organic material, a little bit of peat moss, water, plant it at the right level, do all those things. Keep it in the full sun, you'll probably be okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to do that, I would certainly fertilize it with some good citrus fertilizer that contains iron, because that might help with the yellow leaf situation. That's what I would do. I would go ahead and transplant it, but be very careful when you do. But if not, fertilize it and see if we can save it.
Okay, great advice and a great question. Thanks so much for sending that in, Phil.
That's Phil. Phil's one of the Pensacola's great realtors. You know that?
The mayor here knows everybody.
Oh,
he knows everybody.
Not necessarily. Good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
So if you do have a question, and we still have some time left, 850-437-1620. So you wanted to mention something about lawns.
Oh, I did. I wanted to say this at the beginning of our show when we got talking. I want people to be very careful with 90 degrees, mm-hmm. about weed control.
Oh.
Now, we've talked, last week we talked extensively about weed control and what to use for post-emergence and when we should have used the pre-emergent, all of that stuff. Well, you may have some on your shelf and you see some weeds in your yard and you say, I'm going to go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the temperature's in the 90s. It's time, in my opinion, this is just me, to put those weed killers on the shelf. You can easily damage, if not kill, your good grass.
Really?
Oh, sure. It just most of the labels will tell you you don't want to spray in extremely hot weather, because it really can do damage. So I just wanted to be sure we all, you know, we're on the same page insofar as weed control. The best weed control you can do right now, of course, is be sure we are fertilized correctly, we're mowing it high, we're watering it correctly. If we do all those cultural things to get that grass going good and thick, that's still the best deterrent to weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always work. We all know that. But that's still the best way to do it. But chemically speaking, be so careful in this hot weather.
Yeah, we tend to overdo. I always think more is better. Yeah. That's not in the case.
Yeah, I've always said, I think you've heard me say this 1,000 times on the air, it's not like playing poker.
Right.
When you want to double up to catch up.
That's right. Don't do it.
If it says use one tablespoonful, don't use two.
Oh, well, another one should make it even better. That's my philosophy. Oops.
Well, you can tell your lawn goodbye, man.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. That's
okay,
exactly
where right. were we here? We're talking about our annuals.
We're talking about annuals. I think you were up to Pinta, and then we got to the black-eyed Susans.
Black-eyed Susans, exactly. Okay, how about salvia?
He looks at me like I should know what this is. He says, like, salvia, you know Meg. Salvia.
You know Meg.
Salvia, no.
Salvia, which I forgot about it, is a member of the mint family. Okay?
Oh, okay. I love fresh
mint. It has these
mint.
Tubular flowers, and of course, you can get red salvia or you can get blue salvia.
Mm-hmm.
But most people plant the red salvia because hummingbirds love it.
Oh.
Hummingbirds really love it. If you're looking for a variety, there are a lot of them out there. And the changes in variety on salvia generally are changes in growth height. But the one I really like over the years, and I hope you can still find it, is called St. John's Fire.
Oh, wow. That's a great name.
That's the best. That's exactly right. So that's salvia.
All right, we've got a question here that just came in on the text line. We've got time here.
Okay.
It says, I have a huge Meyer lemon that froze a year ago. It has sprouted from the root. Will it produce lemons, or does it need grafting?
Well, most of those citrus are grafted. When you buy them and when you plant them, they are grafted. And, of course, the root of that has been on which it's been grafted is not desirable.
Mm-hmm.
It'll send up fruit. So if you've got a citrus tree and it's got all this growth coming up from the bottom,
mm-hmm.
you need just to clip that off, because that's not going to produce a desirable citrus for you. If that's all you've got is that's coming up from the bottom, you may need to regroup and get a new one.
Oh.
But that growth coming from below the graft is problematic. Mm. It really is. It'll produce, but it's not anything you want to eat or be proud of.
I would imagine quite a few people are experiencing that this year with the freeze that we had
and
snow.
No question. That's exactly right. And a lot of times it's like roses. Mm. All roses are grafted, for the most part, to a root that helps it grow in a particular region. But the same with the rose. If that growth is coming up from the bottom, you clip it off,
mm-hmm.
because that's not going to be what you want. So, yes, that could be a problem.
Okay. Well, thank you for sending that in. 850-437-1620 if you've got a question for our expert, The Garden Line with Mike.
Okay, you ready?
More, okay.
Last one.
Okay.
The V word.
Yes.
Vinca.
Vinca?
You knew that, Meg.
Vinca.
How about that?
How do you spell it?
Vinca. V-I-N-C-A.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know that one. Sure, of course. No, I don't know what color it is.
There's another name. There's another name that you'll know better. Periwinkle.
Yes, I do know that one.
There you go. Periwinkle. This is another go-to annual if you've got pure sun.
Mm.
But here's one hint. And Southern Living wrote a long article on this a matter of years ago that periwinkle is a hardy, hardy annual. White bloom, little red dot in the middle.
So pretty.
But you never want to plant vinca or periwinkle too early in the season. You want to really kind of wait till now.
Okay.
Because if you plant vinca too early, this was Southern Living's analysis, you get a little root rot early. Hmm. Or if you plant it in March.
Right.
And many times it'll fail because it was planted too early. Now, 90 degrees coming up. Go to it, plant it, and it'll be there all summer long.
Okay, great. We got through our annuals list this morning, and if you have a few more minutes coming up, we'll be back right after the break with Pep Talk and The Garden Line. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Just a few minutes left. We got a great video that came in from Steve in Escambia Bay.
Steve, you're amazing. We really appreciate your participation in the show. That is a great little machine. It's small. It's much smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's a lawnmower, but
it's
a
lawnmower.
It's
a robot. It's a robot. It looked, Megan, I said, it looks a little bit like a turtle.
You need to paint that thing and make it look like a
paint
turtle.
A turtle shell on the back of it.
It'd be perfect.
But your lawn looks great.
Yeah.
And I think I'll probably give a lot of credit to the robot.
We'll have to come up with a name, like the tortoise name or something for your robot.
I like it. I like it. Steve, thank you very much for
That's
that.
Awesome.
We really appreciate
That's
it.
That's awesome. Okay, just a couple minutes left, sir.
A couple minutes left. Okay, well, we've been through some of the annuals, and there are many, many more. As I said, the state on their list has got 52 different annuals, and you may want to look that up and just for fun if that interests you. But what we have not had time to talk about are the perennials. A lot of people want to plant perennials because they come back year after year after year. And there's one I've got to mention right now.
Okay.
We'll talk more about it next week, is the agapanthus.
The agapanthus.
You'll know it, the lily of the Nile.
Oh, of course.
Drive around your neighborhood. It's a long stalk with the blue blossom on the top.
They're beautiful.
They are blooming in Pensacola right now.
I have seen
now. Them. But they are a pure perennial. One of the cold winters, it just froze to the ground.
Mm, so they look like they're
came
gone.
Came back with a vengeance.
Great.
But anyway, agapanthus, lily of the Nile. But we've got some other perennials to talk about next week. Let's talk a little bit about next week about gerber daisies.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk more about caladiums.
Okay.
That's some interesting stuff there. Elephant ears.
I love elephant ears. My whole yard used to have those.
Amaryllis. Muley grass, all kind of stuff.
Wonderful.
Plus, I've got some. We'll do this next week. Talk about hedge plants.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we've had the guy call about
the hedge is the neighbor.
I've got some information on that.
Excellent.
Anyway, it's been fun, Meg. Thank you,
Mike. As always, you're so wonderful. You can hear this podcast on our website at newsradio923.com. If you forgot to take notes, always good advice on gardening with The Garden Line and Mike right here on Pep Talk.